Buster Baxter, and you're listening to a podcast where nostalgia comes alive. It's Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show. Roll it!
Welcome to Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show, the podcast where nostalgia comes alive. Since July of 2021, Jake and his friends have interviewed professionals in the worlds of acting, directing, writing, puppeteering, and many more. Who will they be chatting with in this week's interview? Find out in this Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show, where nostalgia comes alive. Happy to be here with us. Thank you for joining. As always, I'm your host, Jake Teffenbaugh. With me today, of course, our co-hosts, Chris Bixby and Matt Bingle. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Doing wonderful. Hello, everyone. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thank you for asking. Chris, what do we have today in this episode?
Yeah, so for today's episode, we have three guests. You may know them best for their contributions to the show Arthur. And today we'll be talking about the new series that they've created called Hop, which you can stream now on Max. Please welcome Mark Brown, Solon Brown, and Peter Hirsch. Happy to have you here.
Yeah, good to be.
Great to be here.
Yes.
We're delighted.
To hear.
Absolutely. So to kick this off, could you guys tell our audience a little bit about yourselves and what you do?
Okay. I draw pictures and I like to write stories. And most recently, I just finished weeding my raspberry bed.
That's funny.
That's probably more than you wanted to hear.
No.
And Solon, what about you?
I make cartoons. I was a producer on Arthur for a number of years. Before that, live action in general. So it was a bit of a lateral move into animation. It's basically movies and TV with more drawing. And now just making Hop. It's been pretty enjoyable.
Nice. And Peter, what about you?
I'm a writer. I was the head writer for Arthur for a long time. And I've written for some other shows, and right now we're all working on this new show, Hop, which has been a lot of fun. Yeah.
Nice, really nice. So, yeah, it's wonderful.
That's wonderful for all. So now for you, Mark, before Hop, you're best known for creating the Arthur franchise, starting out with the books. What was kind of like the overall inspiration for creating Arthur?
Tolan doesn't remember, but when he was very young, I told him a bedtime story about a little aardvark that wanted to change his nose. And at the time, I had just lost my teaching job at a small college in Boston, and I was wondering what I would do next. And I really wanted to try doing what I loved to do, and that was making up stories and drawing pictures. And it just took quite a few years to make a living doing it.
Nice.
So don't give up out there if you want to do something.
Absolutely. Yes.
Without a doubt.
Wonderful advice. Yes.
Without a doubt. So could you, Mark, kind of describe the transition? Because you wrote for Arthur books originally for a number of years. What was the transition like from writing and illustrating the books to creating the show for PBS years later?
It was horrible and wonderful. The thing that was difficult for me was sharing these characters that I had come to love and know, and everything that I made them do and made them look like was something that I was in charge of. But when the television show began, all of a sudden I was a part of a team, and we were collectively making this show happen. But, you know, I, at a certain point early on, I just had to let go and enjoy working with these other really talented people. And what I learned also was that making these television shows was so similar to what I was doing with picture books. You know, you cast your characters, you costume them, you design the sets, and then with television, they could move, because in my mind they were moving as I drew them. I just had to know where to stop action for the books. So animation was like a continuation of what I had been doing, with incredible bonuses.
Nice.
That's wonderful. So now for you, Peter, when did you kind of first realize you wanted to be a writer?
You know, I first realized I wanted to be a writer in, I think, seventh grade.
Wow.
I wrote a horror story about, you know, this boy who has really vivid nightmares, and then it turned into a trilogy. I think there was an assassination attempt on the Pope, and it was just, you know, I started writing a story, and then it sort of didn't stop. So at a pretty early age, I knew I wanted to be a writer. I never thought, oh, I want to write for children or for children's television. I wanted to be a playwright or a novelist. And I was struggling to do that for about 3 or 4 years. I was a security guard. And then someone offered me a job to write on a new PBS kids show called Arthur. And so, I wrote this script called the Crunch Cereal Jingle Contest. So that was my first script. And then I was just fortunate to be on a show like Arthur, where you could explore so many different types of stories, and the characters were so real to me and unique. So so that's when I started, and then I didn't look back.
I have a question for you, Peter. As a security guard, did you have a gun?
No, I had a I had a club, but it was, the building I was protecting was actually a children's wear building in New York.
Interesting.
So we didn't get a lot of thieves coming in stealing the onesies and things like that. So it was a pretty easy job.
Diapers.
Yeah.
You never know. Wasn't there a big maple syrup heist in Canada a few years ago? I mean, it can happen anywhere.
That's true.
That club could have come in handy.
Yeah.
So also for you, Peter, as you were writer and head writer for Arthur, what was it like kind of working alongside Mark writing the scripts?
It was great. I mean, when I first started, we had a really good team. The head writer at first was Ken Scarborough.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was another writer named Joe Fallon, who became the head writer too. It was a very supportive and creative team. And Mark always had great ways to steer our scripts so that they really reflected the characters, and great suggestions. So I was just very lucky to be with such a sort of charitable and accepting group of creators.
Nice.
Very nice. So moving on to you, Tolan, later on in the show's run, you became a producer for the show. I'm curious, did you always want to kind of work behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah. I had a pretty similar trajectory to Peter, I guess, but in the in the film world, I knew pretty early on that that was where I was going to go. I was interested like super early. Mark was always really, I mean, he was really into old movies and TV shows and things like that. So I actually kind of grew up at a young age watching all these old movies and becoming a film nerd kind of right out of the gate. And I think there was a weird moment. I can't even remember how old I was, maybe 10 or 11 or somewhere around there. I was sitting, and this makes no sense for the age where this occurred, but it was The Verdict with Paul Newman. I remember looking up at that movie and just like that was kind of the moment where I realized that's what I wanted to do. I don't even know why. But I do remember that was the moment. So I got involved in film and TV stuff right away, pretty much as soon as I was able. And then when Arthur started, I was in New York doing that, and had this opportunity to go work in animation, which was also something that I was always attracted to, but didn't have the opportunity to really dabble in. It's kind of like the most extreme version of making a movie or TV show, because all the possibilities are on the table because you just have to draw it. You know what I mean? So it's kind of the Uber version of that. Mm-hmm.
I have something to say and a question for you about something I learned about you while working on Hop.
I've learned some things about both of you too.
Yeah. Okay. Recently. Oh, all right. Let's get it all out on the table here.
Sure.
What I learned about you was this encyclopedic knowledge of music, and the way you have steered the people who are making the music for Hop at Eggplant, who they have been amazing. But you are able to give them notes and references to the most bizarre things and songs, musicians. And I am just in awe because I didn't know that about you. I knew that you were, you know, you liked music and you were.
Well, I think it plays into why I was attracted to movies and TV so much, because it was really the. It was all these different media coming together in that one space, you know, all the music and visual and storytelling. I don't know. But that's also just to make it fun, because this is hard work making a TV show. So it's like to engage with all our partners along the way.
Yeah, we've been lucky.
Hopefully in interesting really, ways.
Really fantastic group of people we've been working with. And you know, for me, I have never been so involved in the process with Arthur. I was kind of kept at arm's length by the people I was working with in production. You know, and so now I'm a part of recording sessions. And we can rewrite a line as the actors are delivering them because it doesn't sound quite right or they're struggling with it. And so, oh, gee, what if we changed it to this and try it out on them right there on the spot? And I mean, I never had that luxury with Arthur. So I'm really excited by having like the whole paint box to work with instead of just... three colors.
And having more access to Peter during the later process has been great too, you know, because he really has opportunity to offer input on animatics and designs and things that's
come right
later than it did for him on Arthur, and that's been a huge help.
Yeah,
you were wasted. opportunity during Arthur. And yeah, I mean, you bring so much to the creative process beyond the writing, but let us give Peter enormous credit for building the foundation of each of these stories. And that's what makes the show successful for kids. There's a good story there in every one of these episodes.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Peter, I'm sorry. What were you saying when I rudely interrupted?
I wanted more. No, I was just...
it was all praise.
Tona, I'm curious. Mark had mentioned your encyclopedic knowledge of music and movies. Do you have any favorite genres of like music?
That's
being
generous.
No,
it really runs the gamut, and actually, it's I don't know. I think it comes. I think we all sort of have that to greater or lesser degrees, and it's come out all along the way. Even back in Arthur, you know, there's always these random old movie references and things like that working their way in. But I mean, for me, I just like people making art. You know what I mean? So I can always find an appreciation for anybody who is, you know, earnestly practicing their craft. So like my musical genres are pretty broad, you know, from opera to country.
Nice.
I'm just looking at some of your notes here, Tolan, that came in today for the scoring of, I forget which episode it was. It's maybe Benny losing his tooth. General question, I'm wondering if we should do something more obvious for the tooth wiggles. It isn't always super obvious animation-wise when those occur, so maybe we'll gain some benefit from hitting those harder. Anyone else think of those are getting lost on occasion? Only in some places, mostly in this mostly it's fine in this version. I mean, that's just one little thing. But then at the end of this long line of suggestions for the music, you write, and because it's essentially all I have that's tooth related, a 219 bootleg version of Nora Jones singing Hands on the Wheel from Beartooth Theater in Anchorage, Alaska, and then you give them the soundtrack.
Yeah, the score, the first round of score
funny,
notes.
For example,
I've been attaching music files to the first round score notes as like the longest.
I mean, but who would know that? How did you DJ even remember that?
Especially a bootleg version.
Yeah, really. Not even a regular version.
Not even a regular version.
Yeah.
Well, that dovetails with the direction that we try to give people in some of these areas. Like that was one of the notes we gave to these great people who were doing the music on Hop called Eggplant, that to try to veer away from cliches and tropes and things like that. Musically, we try to do that in all areas, but musically, you know, it's like if it's the kind of thing that most people would hit with, you know, like wah, to not do that, do whatever your first thought is, try to do your second thought after that if you can't do it. So the musical choices that I've attached to that, I try to not make the obvious ones.
What's the thing, right? You have something against the slide whistle, right? You've kind of banned the slide whistle from the show. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. The slide whistle. And
people are even afraid to say the words in your presence.
And the record, the record scratch is another one that I've outlawed.
Oh, that's great.
We still include them sometimes. But it's, you know, you just try to think as much... avoid the low-hanging fruit whenever possible. Try to tell Everything visually, musically, story, in as much of a new way as you possibly can.
And the sound effects, there's so much time and thought given to the sound effects in each of these episodes, and creative sounds that you wouldn't expect for a certain thing. I mean, we spent what, like an hour? Was it yesterday when we were doing the most recent
Oh
show?
yeah, what was that
Was
we
it the
noodled with?
chickens? It was the it was there's it teaches kids in a very funny way what a courtroom is like and having a trial. And Benny is in the this and that store, and he picks up this goofy little hammer that makes a squeaky sound when he hits it. And they use that as the judge's gavel. And we work so hard to find just the right and most ridiculous sound that would, fit with that object, but be funny at the same time. Because it makes Hop laugh every time he uses it in the courtroom.
Yes.
But we spent almost an hour, with the sound guy trying to find the right squeaky sound.
Interesting.
Much
Yeah,
information.
there are a lot of people spending a lot of time on this show on very small details. I mean, really making their best effort to get everything right.
Absolutely.
Oh yes. So now a view again, Ton. So now I'm kind of curious. So what were your some of the most important lessons you kind of learned from your dad when you started working on Arthur?
Oh boy. I mean, there's a multitude. I think part of it is yeah, I mean, where do I even begin? It's the importance of the vision. You have to have a pretty good idea of where you want to go. But then beyond that, you have to be flexible in allowing that to change and grow as it goes along. And then a little bit of what Mark already talked about is the allowing other people in to really capitalize on all their talents and thoughts and ideas, and also to get people excited and invested in what we're all doing together,
Nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so now after Arthur ended its long run, of course, the three of you came together to create the new Max series, which of course is kind of overall the main discussion, Hop. How was the show kind of first pitched, and like what went into kind of, coming together to develop this new show?
What's that wonderful line that you wrote that sort of encapsulates the show, Peter? I don't want to mess it up, so I'm asking.
I always use my version before they changed it. There's nothing better than being different together. That was kind of one of the that was one of the things we talked about, is how do you make a group of friends and they're all very eccentric, very different, even more so than Arthur, I would say. And they just completely accept each other. They don't even have to talk about how different or unique they are. It's just their world. It's like complete radical acceptance. That's one thing we want to portray. But the whole series started from a doodle. Like Mark made a doodle on, I don't know if it was a napkin, but of a frog with one leg shorter than the other. And was like, that could be a character. And then at some point we decided, oh, well, he lives on a houseboat. So we had a frog with one leg shorter than the other living on a houseboat. And we thought, oh, that's, there's something
That's
sweet.
gonna That's going to win kids over right away.
Yeah, that's right. What kid wouldn't want a frog with one leg shorter than the other on a houseboat?
They also have a diner with a tasty majig.
Then we would meet every weekend at Mark's house, and there'd be really good coffee and treats. And we'd just start, making characters, making locations, and talking about what we really wanted to write about. You know, there were some things we couldn't do on Arthur because it was PBS, and you know, also the Arthur world was very real. It was like, it was a kid, he lived in suburbia, he went to school. And one of the most fun things about that show were the fantasies. So when we approached Hop, we were like, well, what if the fantasies were the real world? Like, what if, you know, instead of them, making model rockets, they made a real flying machine and they flew on it. Now we couldn't, that was really difficult to do with PBS. It gives us a lot of clearance and things like that.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't the tone of Arthur. So, you know, we were like, can we make this show more fantastic? Can we make it sillier? So I think that's some of the starting point.
No one has commented on the fact that these characters have no parents.
Yeah, there are no adults. There's one adult.
It's like a play date that never ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Pretty much. So similar to how it was created, what went into casting the voice actors for Hop?
Wow, we got really lucky. I love being a part of these recording sessions with the actors because they're so creative. And we bounce ideas off one another to see how we can squeeze the most fun out of a scene. I guess we also have to credit this wonderful organization that we worked with called Respectability, because we wanted to cast these characters as authentically as we could. Like Philippa is neurodivergent, and we wanted someone with autism to really take that character. And this is how lucky we got. So Charlotte, the actress who voices Philippa, we found her through our director, Bruce's summer animation camp, where she was a student. And he was so impressed with her interest in animation and also wanting to make, animated shows. So she not only brought a great voice to the character, but an understanding of animation. And she could see in the script what was going on, so she knew how to pitch her voice and act. She's a really good actress. So that's one example.
Definitely. And, yeah, she does a wonderful job.
Isn't she amazing?
They all do, yes. But yeah, she definitely David. Does a wonderful job too.
And Benny, I mean, he just is so good at what he does. He's hilarious. The guy who does, I'm blanking on his name right now, who does Ronnie, and he also voices Too Much, the Too Much and Delicia, the friends who run the Walmart and the delivery service. These actors are doing double duty. So he does both of those characters. And he's so funny. I mean, we just spend too much time laughing. Anyway, okay, we're getting off track here. Let's get back on track.
No worries.
Yeah, that's fine. So now, so far, of course, there are 6 episodes currently available to stream on Max. Do each of you have like a favorite episode so far that's been released?
Hmm.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually have I've watched it recently. You know, I have it on 24/7 in the background. But there's an episode where Hoot, all the kids are they're wanting it to snow, and Hoot, who's really dramatic and flamboyant, starts making up this tale about how she went down the biggest mountain, Mount Biggie, on a sled, and oh, she did loop-de-loops, and she ran through a snow troll, and she even flew for a little minute, and she keeps getting more and more carried away with this story, and then it snows really hard really quickly, and she's like, great, we can go do that now, we can go sled down Mount Biggie, and she's sort of trapped in a lie, and she winds up, you know, confessing and saying, okay, I didn't really do it. And they all say, you know, that's okay, you know, we understand. And then she winds up falling on the sled and going down the mountain, just like she lied about. And everybody runs after her and jumps on the sled. And it visually turned out like really well. And it's fun and it's exciting. And there's like, you know, when you get into that sled ride, there's actually not that much talking. So it kind of almost feels like very old-fashioned animation, almost like kind of Bugs Bunny or Roadrunner or stuff like that. I really enjoyed that one.
Nice.
What about you, Mark? Do you have a favorite one so far?
No, I'm seeing that episode so clearly as you're talking about it. And that moment where she's talking and confessing and leaning on the sled and it's just slowly inching toward the edge of the hill, and just all of a sudden, it's off to the races. Yeah, it's great. I love the episode where Benny meets Helga, the troll.
Benny and the troll.
There's some really beautiful animation in there. And it's such a great lesson for kids about preconceptions of people. And actually getting to meet them, and yeah, they're really nice and they become friends. And
yeah, Benny has a book on trolls. And according to the book, trolls like stomp on hats and they eat flowers, and you know, they're just kind of basically horrible. And so that's what he thinks trolls are. And then he meets a troll who's not like that at all. And she actually has a book all on alligators. And alligators are apparently horrible, according to the book. So it's all about, you know, it's all about not trusting the internet. No, it's all about preconceptions.
Nice.
That's pretty high on my list too. It's that one also has really some lovely animation in it. But then there's also Haunted Hiccups, which. Here's an exclusive. Mark does the voice of the ghost
two
characters
old lady ghosts
at the very end.
Nice. Wow.
That's lovely, children. I do hope they'll visit again.
That's great.
Really great.
I'm not even sure if you might be uncredited on that.
Good.
Well, I love the episode where I think it's like one episode where it's like everyone was like doing like a game that like that one point that everyone like wants to be a princess.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yes.
Yeah,
I love
one.
That one.
Yeah.
We're very looking forward for a lot more episodes coming later in this year. We're, you know, hop is
oh yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Mark worked on that dragon a lot, trying to get that designed again.
the dragon comes back in the series, by the way. So,
nice.
Nice.
Really nice.
That's
and
great.
Jake, who is Benny, voices the dragon as well.
Oh, nice.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Oh, nice.
Interesting.
Is that how it does? I didn't even realize. I should say Joel Cumber, who we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, thank you for remembering Joel's name. Who does Bond?
Ronnie and Delicia.
Ronnie and
Delicia. Or Ronnie and Too Much. Sorry. He is a great improv.
Oh, nice.
Just so funny.
Nice.
That's great. That's great. So Hop showcases characters with disabilities. What kind of gave you the idea to represent characters with disabilities in this new show?
Because there are so few shows for kids that do that.
Yeah. And
very true.
Unfortunately, there weren't.
Why shouldn't kids with autism see themselves as one of the main characters in an animated series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Not brain surgery here.
Yeah.
But it's something that really bothered us, and we felt like we had an opportunity.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, there's not as much shows that's like that now compared to, you know, back then. I mean, of course, you know, there's some, you know, good, you know, shows out there that still, you know, airing PBS and all, but there is not as much that's focused on representation of, hey, I want someone or even yourself to have someone on the screen that kind of like that character, you know? And I think we absolutely need more of that. And then for the three of you want to do something like that for Hop, I think that's something very special. So, so thank you three for, and the rest for what you're doing for that show.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Absolutely. And now, kind of perfect segue, about more inclusivity to the show. How important do you think disability representation is in today's media?
I think it's really important. I think, you know, I think in some ways I feel like the goal is to have it, or at least with Hop, it was the goal is to like just have a group of friends. And the fact that Philippa has autism spectrum, is neurodivergent, and, you know, Hop has a mobility disorder, to not have the episodes be about that, really, but it's just like one of their characteristics, you know, it's just who they are. And I think, like, you know, we would occasionally do, have some characters in Arthur that had disabilities, but they were always like introduced in the same way. It was kind of like, we're doing a special episode and here's Carl and he has autism, or here's like Lydia and she's in a wheelchair. And what we talked about was, we don't want it to feel like that. We want it to feel like, you know, this is just who they are, and we don't even have to like have the characters talk about it that much unless it kind of organically comes up. So I kind of feel like I wish, I'd like it if there was more of that in the media, where it's like, oh, that's just one of the characteristics of that person.
That's just who they are, you know. And
yeah,
that's
exactly.
What matters. And if they want, you know, if they want to have fun with their friends, you know, who cares? Let them be with them.
Yeah. And so, it never defines who they are or what they can accomplish. It's just, you know, it's every child is unique, and this just happens to be part of that uniqueness.
And exactly. You never know, and you probably, hopefully there's going to be more shows out there will be kind of have that inspiration to Hop, and you know, to keep going with, you know, with amazing, you know, representation that the show really had in such a positive, passionate way. Mm-hmm. It's just so wonderful, and you know, and after we all doing, you know, for Arthur, and then after then that chapter, you guys want to kind of have that next chapter to give, you know, more, you know, give more, you know, another show that kind of, you know, hey, let's make a show about, you know, them just have fun and have their little adventures and just, you know, I think that's just so wonderful about that.
You know what? One of the best things that's happened since the show began airing, we did a first book about Hop called Hop Helps Out.
And, yes, that's right.
And it will get published next summer by Scholastic. So my editor there, our editor there, has two young kids, and she wanted to just turn Hop on one day and let them watch it. And she said, you know, they were like riveted to this screen for almost 2 hours. And then the next day, they asked their mom, can we watch Hop again? I love Hop.
Aww. Oh my gosh, wow. That's so great.
Oh, that's sweet. That's so sweet.
It's so real.
That's really sweet.
That's
cool. Wow.
That's great. Yeah,
that was the best review we got. So
probably be first out of many.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure.
I'm so happy about the, you know, the show kind of have that, you know, kind of have their own inclusivity and representation. Like, you know,
no, and the effect it has on its audience too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think that's the most important thing. You know, because you can create a show, but unlike Broadway, where you get reactions and all that, it usually takes a while for TV and streaming and that kind of thing to get the feedback.
Yeah.
But when you do on a show like this, you know you're doing something amazing.
Oh. Yeah.
I was surprised to know, to learn that Bluey and
yeah, Peppa
Pig, oh yeah,
took so long Pig, yeah, to connect with people. You know, and they're both wonderful shows. But it wasn't like an overnight instant success story.
Yeah. Like it yeah, was, right.
Arthur probably
was
doesn't.
Arthur, did Arthur, like I wasn't aware of what was going on, but in that first season, was it like, oh boy,
it was a phenomenon. It just connected with people. But now kids are able to access their entertainment in so many, you know, areas of the media. It's become a different kind of ball game. So, you know, I didn't expect an instant connection with lots and lots of kids. I think it's going to be a slow build.
Mm-hmm.
But a good one.
Definitely.
It's kind of amazing to see everything that's happened in the media world since the beginning. I think Arthur was actually the first animated show on PBS.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, oh, they wow, came to me and they wanted...
most long running too.
Yeah, and they had this very simple formula when they came to me. We want to use Arthur and animation to make kids want to read and go to the library. And, you know, I think I had sold like 5 million Arthur books up until that point.
Wow.
Then it was instantly, the number jumped to 50 million.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Yeah.
So the power of television at that point in our lives was really powerful.
Oh, yeah.
But now screens are in so many different places, yeah, so many options.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, but you know, streaming now and you know, they kind of have the you know, a lot more opportunities where that show should go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot more to that.
Yeah, but even then, the numbers could jump just as much. You know,
oh, yeah,
there's so much yeah, out there. You know,
yeah, yes, no matter where it is.
It's exactly, hard to figure out what your numbers are these days, which is part
very
of the
true,
challenge
very true,
to
yeah,
measure your audience because everything
yeah,
is so time shifted and split up into all these different places.
Yeah,
it's like,
very true.
It's a real challenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So for those who haven't seen the series, could you kind of talk about the main things that viewers would learn or kind of take away from watching Hop?
Two words. If Hop were a bumper sticker, it would be heart and humor. I mean, if I had to distill it down to the bare essence of the show. And, you know, it's like with Arthur, you can have fun, tell a good story, but also impart a message or some kind of a learning experience for kids. But it has to be something that's going to draw kids in and be fun. And also, we sprinkle adult humor into these shows because we want the parents to enjoy watching it with their kids. Because, you know, when you're in front of the television or whatever screen you're with and your child is next to you, you have an opportunity to share your views, your values with your kids. And, you know, what do you think about that just happened? What did Hop just do? What do you think that means? What's going to happen because he did that? And so with picture books and with the shows that we make, we like to think of them as conversation starters for families so they can talk about things and personalize what they're viewing.
Nice. Yeah.
I would like people, like, if there was just a small thing that people could come away with when they watch Hop, it's be kind, be silly, be yourself. Those are the three things.
Yes.
Excellent. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
That's why inclusivity and everything else in Hop is, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yes, definitely. So what can we expect in the future episodes of Hop to come?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Oh my gosh. There's we're doing 52, right? So 52 11 minutes, so that's 26 half hours.
Right.
So
okay.
We've just had 6. So there's 20 more that you'll see. And I'm not quite, I think there's a whole release, you know, I think the next 6 come a month later. So I don't know. Tolan knows better, probably.
I don't know if we can say officially.
But there's a lot more characters. You know, they get a pet.
Okay,
and
cool.
I won't tell you, like, what it is.
Nice.
I think that's it.
We meet the troll. We meet Helga a lot and sort of learn a lot more about her. What else? What are some other things that happen?
A lot. Anything like this.
Out there,
you know, you get to meet Hoot's car. She has a talking robotic car.
We do spend more time with Jinx, who's a lot of fun.
Jinx, we basically learn a lot about these characters and the world that they live in, and their friends. You know,
yeah,
we kind of really deep dive into everyone,
like character growth, basically.
Yeah, basically. So,
and the actors too, really, they settled into these characters more and more as time went on. So Hoot gets even more Hooty, and Benny really kind of comes into his own. It gets fun.
You learn
it
about
starts
the
fun.
You know, the beavers are kind of there a lot, and
nice. Nice. So since we're about to wrap this up, so the last question that Jake's about to ask is a question we ask all of our guests at the end. Go ahead, Jake.
Thank you, Chris. So of course, this podcast is called Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show. When you three think of nostalgia, what do you think of? Or in your own words, how would you define the word nostalgia?
It's everything good. I find myself rewatching things that I grew up with things that, you know, are not current. I'll give you an example. The Sopranos. It's one of my favorite things that ever happened on television. And I never tire of watching those episodes because the writing and the acting is so good. Or the I Love Lucy episodes. You know, that was an example of an amazing ensemble cast and humor. Much of it just sort of happened on the fly. So I don't know, I'm a big fan of nostalgia. When I heard I was going to be on your program, I got very excited.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
To me, nostalgia is like a secret room in the house. And it's a room that you can always go to, and it's warm and it's comfortable and it's cozy. And the nice thing about it is that it doesn't really change. It's your special secret room. And, you know, you can invite friends there and things. So, you know, I feel like we all keep a room like that in our heads or our hearts. And like, that's like nostalgia for me. And as I get older, I go there more often.
Yes.
That's great. What about you, Solon?
I think it's you know, the things in your past that you care enough about or are so important that, you know, that they weren't bringing with you into the future. You know, those touchstones that kind of make up how you look at the future or how you want the future.
Yes, absolutely. Great words to end on. Well, Mark, Tolan, and Peter, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. This was a blast.
Thank you so much for having us.
Fun.
Yes, really absolutely.
You guys are great.
Fantastic.
Lots of fun. Yes.
Thank you very much, you three. It means a lot. And Hop is such a wonderful, wonderful series, especially in today's generation. It's so wonderful. And for all, you know, all the representation to go around and inclusivity and everything, it's just wonderful. So, but thank you for, you know, for even just, you know, for just creating this and joining to talk about it. And can I wait what's next in store for you, and especially more episodes coming later this year?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jake, Matt, and Chris.
Yes, absolutely. Thank wonderful you, to sir. Have you on. Keep in touch. I'll let everyone know when this goes up.
All right,
nice.
Great.
Nice. Bye, guys. All right, bye-bye.
Thanks again, you three.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya. Take care.
It's goodbye from us as well. We absolutely enjoyed our time with the Hop folks. Once again, that is Mark Brown, his son Tolan Brown, and Peter Hirsch. Yes, links to where you can reach them will be in the description down below, as well as links to where you can stream Hop. That is on Max. There are 6 episodes streaming so far, with the other 20 due to come out later on in the year.
Yep.
So, yes.
Check it out. It's a wonderful show.
Wonderful, wonderful show.
I think one of my favorite. I have any shows that's been, you know, going on, you know, with the children's part. Hop is definitely one of the best.
It's up there. So I definitely say
hope,
one of the best new ones. Yeah.
Oh yes, yeah. And I hope, you know, Hop will do something a lot more, you know, success later on.
Hopefully,
yes.
Which not surprised if it will.
Yes, it's a great watch. Again, there's a lot of representation in that show, which we've talked a lot about in this interview. So, but yes,
you know, who's autism, or, you know, who's wheelchair, or, you know, it's just absolutely acceptance and wonderful series.
Exactly.
That, yeah,
but thanks to the three and the rest for creating it.
Man, yes. Once again, it is streaming on Max. Check it out. When
yes,
you get a chance.
But it's goodbye from Mark, Tolan, and Peter, and it's goodbye from us as well. Keep on the lookout for more wonderful interviews coming your way. And as always, what do we say, Jake?
Keep nostalgia alive. Take care, everyone. See you next time. Take care. Bye.
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 Thank you for tuning in to another wonderful Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show interview. Be sure to follow Jake and the crew on social media and stream the show wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And as always, remember to keep nostalgia alive. Bye-bye.